WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The Republican Party of Virginia weighs in to support the governor's purge of voters, a case now before the U.S. Supreme Court. Some legal voters have been caught in that purge, and we will meet some of them. And we explore the history and legacy of America's Electoral College. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, October 30th. The Republican Party of Virginia has urged the U.S. Supreme Court to reinstate Governor Glenn Youngkin's executive order, removing approximately 1,600 Virginians from the voter rolls. The Virginia Mercury reports that the party filed an amicus brief on Tuesday in support of the governor's efforts. The party's brief reached the court one day after Virginia filed an emergency stay asking the Supreme Court to block a federal court's order for the state to add Virginians back to the rolls. In its filing, the state Republican Party rejected the significance of the so-called quiet period, a federal rule which bars changes to voter rolls within 90 days of an election. But not all Republicans agree, and that includes two former Republican members of Congress from Virginia. Jad Khalil with VPM News reports.
Barbara Comstock and Denver Rickleman have been vocal opponents of former President Donald Trump and election denial. They are also among over a dozen former U.S. representatives that urged the Supreme Court to let the lower court ruling stand in an amicus brief. Amicus briefs are statements filed with the court that make a public stance on a lawsuit. The former legislators wrote that several among them voted for and supported the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. That's the law at the center of the lawsuit. It says you can't remove people from voter rolls in a systematic fashion 90 days before an election. On the other side were Republican attorneys general from across the U.S. and groups that have denied election results in the past.
Jad Khalil reporting. Virginia's governor says his embattled voter purge program is just an effort to keep non-citizens off the state's voter roll. But many legal voters have been caught in the purge, too. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
Rena Shaw is a recent college grad who lives and was a registered voter in Central Virginia for pretty much all of her life. When she went to get her learner's permit in mid-September, a combination of nerves and an earlier failing test result caused her to rush through paperwork. She failed to properly identify herself as a U.S. citizen and was flagged as a non-citizen by Youngkin's voter purge program. But even after trying to correct the issue via mailed-in paperwork, she was removed from the voter roll.
They said that they made a mistake, that I got inundated, but then it was supposed to be restored and they just didn't do it.
Shaw is one of an increasing number of Virginia residents and U.S. citizens with voting records who have been swept up in the governor's attempt to purge non-citizen voters from the state's poll book. Michael O'Neill is with the Landmark Legal Foundation. His group supports Youngkin's effort even if legal voters are removed. He says it's in pursuit of a cleaner voter roll, and state law allows same-day voter registration, so purged voters can still vote provisionally on Election Day.
If you show up to vote in person on Election Day and you've been improperly removed, you have not lost your right to vote. Those people can vote.
Shaw, meanwhile, was re-enrolled after a call to her registrar's office, and she's got a message for Youngkin after she was pulled from the roll.
I think it's ridiculous. Like, I'm supposed to elect him. He's not supposed to choose whether I can vote or not.
Virginia is waiting to see what the U.S. Supreme Court will do with a lower court ruling, which found the program to be illegal under federal law. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Election Day is next Tuesday. Officials say it could be days before some races are called. Patrick Larson with VPM News reports.
Richmond Registrar Keith Ballmer is expecting a bigger Election Day turnout than the last presidential election. His office is training hundreds of poll workers to prepare.
Typically, we use about 600 or 700 election officers. For this election, we're going to have almost twice that.
They'll be joined by partisan poll observers who will be cleared and badged by city election workers. The Associated Press will make election night race calls, but mail-in ballots will be accepted until November 8th, as long as they're postmarked by the time polls close. That means it could take days to determine a clear winner in the closest races.
I mean, we get it done, but my message to the public is, it might take a little while.
Early voting runs through November 2nd, and Election Day is November 5th.
Patrick Larson reporting. The United States is the only democracy in the world that still has an electoral college, a remnant of an earlier time. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports on what it is, how it works, and why it's still a thing.
Barbara Perry is a political scientist at UVA's Miller Center of Public Affairs. Early in her career, she joked about something the founders of this country created.
I still have to this day a t-shirt that says property of the Electoral College Athletic Department.
But for the founders, this was no joke.
They had just enough pessimism about human nature to worry about the kinds of people to be chosen by the people.
They feared the voters might fall for a demagogue.
Someone who tells lies, half-truths, appeals to the base instincts of people, often picks a group of people to be defined as the other, or to be prejudiced against, and then, as Alexander Hamilton said, goes from being a demagogue to courting the people to being a tyrant.
So they established a group of white male landowners who would gather after the vote and make the final decision about who should be the commander-in-chief.
Educated men would come together after the people had voted, and they would make their choice. And if it was different, so be it, because that was the check on the popular will, should it get out of whack.
Political parties here in Virginia pick 13 electors, like 43-year-old Matt Rowe from Fredericksburg.
We choose electors at congressional district conventions, one from each congressional district, and then at our state convention, we choose two more to round out the 13.
He and Gary Schatz, a retired member of this country's Foreign Service, now living in Mineral, want to ditch the Electoral College, but still they thought it was an experience worth having.
They hold the ceremony in the House of Delegates chambers. It's the exact same process that we went about for the past couple hundred years in Virginia, as they do in all the other state capitals. Being able to be a part of that was special.
The elector is kind of the last hurrah. This is my last hurrah as well. I'm 80 years old.
Schatz says there's no money to be made.
We might get a lunch.
And electors can't change their mind about what candidate will get their vote.
We have a faithless elector law. If someone has the idea of maybe they won't support the person that they were elected to support, then they'll be replaced.
All but two states, Maine and Nebraska, go with a winner-take-all model. In most states, if 50.1% of voters favor one candidate, all of the electoral votes go to that person. Which is why four times the Electoral College has given us the candidate who lost the popular vote. After those elections, there were calls to get rid of the Electoral College. But Professor Perry points out that it's in our Constitution, so we'd have to amend it.
That would have to either come from a constitutional convention, which I don't think we'd want to take the chance of having right now, but it also could come through the Congress.
But Republicans dominate in the House, and their party has benefited most from the Electoral College, so they don't want to change it. Democrats came up with another path, launching an organization of states pledged to give their electoral votes to the candidate who wins the popular vote nationwide. But that agreement won't take effect until it has at least 270 electoral votes, enough to win the presidency. Right now, 17 states and the District of Columbia have joined. Virginia is not among them, and they account for just 207 electoral votes. I'm Sandy Houseman.
For the first time since 2017, the Charlottesville and Albemarle Planning Commissions have convened for a joint work session. The two commissions came together to give input on potential strategies identified by the Resilient Together program and to address next steps to help both localities meet climate goals. Corey Claiborne is from Albemarle County.
It's inevitable that that's going to be a new set of constraints that we're going to have to contend with as we're starting to flesh out our strategies and start thinking about how that might be implemented around natural disasters, hazards, and risk. I jotted down 4 points, preparedness, mitigation, response, and recovery.
Gabe Daly, the county's climate action program manager, said the meeting was a, quote, golden opportunity to think through planning challenges. Dominion Energy is piloting a beekeeping program at a solar farm in Buckingham County. The Daily Progress reports that Dominion recently launched a pilot program housing tens of thousands of Italian honeybees at its Black Bear solar array. The 13-acre site is the first of its kind in Virginia. Black Bear Solar's four hives will house 180,000 bees, particularly benefiting Buckingham County. Each hive produces about 200 pounds of honey per year, and only the surplus, approximately 40 to 80 pounds, will be sold. Finally today, Jamestown has been awarded about $750,000 by the Historic Preservation Fund to mark the country's 250th anniversary. The funds will be used to restore and update the foundations of Jamestown's 1665 State House, the first structure built in the U.S. by Europeans to be used as a government building. Today, the site is made up of five connected brick-and-mortar foundations in the southwest portion of the island. They're currently covered in cement, which is breaking down. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy Wednesday.